Good evening and welcome to Monday Night Playhouse. I'm executive producer Damiano Pietropaolo, and it is my great pleasure to welcome Allison Seeley-Smith to our show. Welcome, Allison.
My pleasure to be here.
Oh, Allison, you're a star of stage, radio, television, the silver screen, and you're also the artistic director of Obsidian Theatre Company in Toronto, a company that's been dedicated to the development of stories that celebrate the proud heritage of Canadians of African descent. But you're here on a very special role tonight, and you're taking over hosting duties for the next 7 weeks for our Black History Month special. Why 7 weeks, we might ask?
Well, that was about the time that we needed to even give you a taste of everything that's going on out there. I mean, in Black performance have just... We've come such a long way. And this countrywide festival on CBC Radio will be including documentaries, music, drama, poetry, and all of them will be honoring the proud African-Canadian heritage in this country.
And to help our listeners plan their listening, we've also created a website. You'll find it at www.cbc.ca/blackhistory. And now, to get things underway, tell us about tonight's play.
Well, we're beginning our series with a special drama by Calgary playwright Cheryl Fogo. Heaven is a Love Story. And it's set in the Amber Valley settlement in Alberta's Athabasca Valley. Now, this settlement was established in 1905 by a group of men and women who were fleeing persecution in Oklahoma, and I guess they hoped to establish their very own little piece of heaven in northern Alberta. Here now is Heaven by Cheryl Fogo.
Keep it warm, Ezra.
I'm trying.
Me too. What you doing out here?
A new teacher coming in from Ontario.
Hope he's brought Alberta clothes.
He's Canada-born, I understand. Ought to know how to dress, I reckon.
I'm into that. Well, I gotta get this luggage ready to load. You stay warm, Ezra. I'll see you.
Yeah, so long. Hello? Hello, Ms. Williams? Oh, let me take that.
Thank you so very much. There's just that one and my trunk here.
Oh.
It's terribly heavy, I'm afraid.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, don't apologize. A trunk that heavy means you folks come to stay.
Pardon?
We've been through a lot of teachers up here. Someone brings a trunk this full, they ain't planning on turning around again real quick.
Oh, but I...
Well, we're sure glad you're here, tell you that. More reason than one. We've been praying for a black teacher to tell the truth. Well, not that the others haven't been nice, real nice, don't get me wrong, but we're just real glad y'all could come. I'm Ezra Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. I'm very glad to be here as well. That is one long train ride.
I had to ride here on the train from Tulsa by myself when I first came up in 08.
Mm-hmm.
Always better with company.
I see. Are you meeting someone else as well?
Nope, just you and the professor.
Who?
Just you and your husband.
My husband? Oh, dear Lord. You thought I was a man. You were expecting a man, Mr. Jones.
You're the teacher?
Yes.
Your husband isn't coming?
My husband is a doctor in St. Catharines.
Well, that's...
Oh, my.
My exact request was for a rugged individual... suited to country life, familiar with baseball. Guess I just assumed. Well, you take the way you signed your name. C.D. Williams, I assumed you'd be a man.
I'm not.
Nope. It's just a woman out here alone. It ain't an easy life here.
It ain't an easy life anywhere.
Ms. Williams, I don't mean you no offense. You're here now, and we'll make do best we can.
I can play baseball, but if I'm not wanted...
No, don't look at it that way. We need a teacher, and you're here. Can you manage that one? I think I have my hands full.
And I may be from Ontario, but my people were farming people, too. I know how to live in the country.
You got something for your feet other than those... little shoes?
If I'm not wanted, I don't want to be here. I can step right back on that train right now. Or another one.
Ms. Williams, this misunderstanding is probably my fault. You done made it to Athabasca, and I'd wager you're tired. We still got 20 miles to go by wagon to Amber Valley. I'm tired, too, and it's a long road. Can we go?
Yes. How much longer?
Hard to say. Snow's a lot deeper than when I come out. Why don't you get your winter things on? I don't mind pulling over here. We'll take a minute and get you real comfortable.
No, thank you. How long do these cold snaps last?
6 months. Whoa there, Ed. Can you please open your trunk and get your things?
These are my things, Mr. Jones. This is it.
Do you know where you are? Edmonton is one of Canada's coldest cities, and Amber Valley is a good long way north of Edmonton.
Thank you for the geography lesson.
Take this here blanket. Wrap yourself up and tuck some of that straw around your feet. We are not going on until you've done what I asked.
There. Let's go.
I'll bring some of Helen's winter things by for you tomorrow.
Your wife?
Mm-hmm.
She won't mind?
She wouldn't mind, no.
Thank you. Is my house right in town?
Well, not a town so much. A settlement, more like. We have a post office and a school, though. That's where we hold church. Ms. Williams, you got to prepare yourself. It ain't gonna be like what you're used to. Your house is more a cabin. Real, real small. But you got a wood floor out there, which is more than some of our folks have, even after being here 16 years. You got your own well out back and a phone.
Is the facility indoors? I see.
You will. Soon enough, I guess. Ms. Williams, what are you doing here today? There ain't gonna be no children at school today.
What do you mean?
Come on now. Get in the wagon. I'll take you home. Here, take my hand. Get up, Red.
I thought the children would be there, waiting in the cold.
The children don't go to school when it's 66 degrees below zero.
No one told me that. No one said, don't go to the school if it's really cold, Charlotte. Matter of fact, no one tells me anything. If I meet one more person at the post office whose child sits in that schoolhouse with me every day, and I speak to that person, and they don't speak back. If they do speak, it's to ask how many children I left behind with my husband in Ontario. It's not funny. I've been here 3 weeks, and they still look at me like I'm a circus freak.
Oh, boy. Well, just take me a minute to shovel your door free. There now. What happened to the window?
I had to break it to get out.
That's quite a mess.
I can fix it myself if you tell me where to get the things.
It ain't like that here. There's no store 10 minutes down the road where you get things. I got some boards in the wagon that'll fix it up for now. These walls got more holes than Ike Tucker's pants.
Hello? Thank you.
Did you want me to get these walls patched up or not? Besides, you don't need Ms. Murray gossiping over me answering your telephone.
Oh, yes. Yes, Mrs. Murray?
Hello, honey. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Is she there?
Oh, just a minute, Ike. Isn't it nice it's warming up a touch? It's Ike Tucker calling.
Yes.
Will you receive Mr. Tucker's call?
Yes, Mrs. Murray, I'll receive Mr. Tucker's call.
Go ahead, Ike.
Hello, Mr. Tucker.
Think we don't have enough trouble around here without you running to every Tom, Dick, and Harry fussing over some books?
I wasn't trying to stir up trouble. I only thought it was important to confront them about what I see as a discrepancy between the resources these children have compared to what the children in the surrounding communities have.
You don't know nothing about the children in the surrounding communities. You never go anywhere. You can't even ride a horse.
Have you know, I visited the school in Athabasca just last month when Mrs. Murray's husband took me in for groceries.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Uncle Jim took her in.
The point is, Athabasca has a library filled with new books. I don't have a single book on the shelf in my school less than 20 years old.
Well, maybe before you get the books, you got to have the library.
I don't care if I have to store the books under the bed in my cabin. The children have a right to them.
That man you accused of depriving our children runs the train station where I work. Now, if I lose my job...
I'm sure that won't happen.
Where have you been all your life, Miss Williams? Things happen. Once we get labeled as troublemakers...
Suppose they do call you troublemakers. Let them say what they want. They can't do anything to you.
I got a family to feed, woman. I got to sell my crops to those people.
Look, I can understand you're not wanting to address this situation. Let me do it. I'd be happy to continue to speak on your behalf.
We got tongues. We ain't stupid.
I didn't mean it that way. I think he's gone, Mrs. Murray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, is he, honey? I wasn't listening.
Thank you, Mrs. Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a booming success.
Can I wash my hands?
Over there.
Well, it wasn't as bad as you thought. He telephoned you. That's a good sign. Got to learn to read the signs.
They're written in a language I don't understand. No one here supports what I'm trying to do. Not even you.
My support ain't gonna help over the long run. You gotta win them over.
Win them? Life is a two-way street, Mr. Jones. I get tired of giving and not receiving.
Your walls are fixed up now, so I'll be going. And those ribs Mrs. Lane had her boy bring by for you the other day? See, I'd call that a sign most people could read. Night.
There you go, Ezra. Lots of mail for you today. Oh, and can you drop Tizzy Glover's mail on your way home? Her baby boy's been real sick. She hasn't got up for days.
Sure thing.
Hello, Charlotte.
Mrs. Murray.
Oh, just let me get this call, honey.
Yes? Oh, hello, Otis. How are things with you?
Hello, Mr. Jones. Picking up your mail, too?
Yep, and sending it. Getting the baseball team all signed up.
Oh, yes. The children are very excited. I can hardly keep their minds on their studies.
Guess that's what happened. The spring comes on.
Excuse me, Mrs. Williams. I've got a gentleman calling for you. Name of Gilbert Johnson?
No, I don't know anyone by that name.
Okay, honey. I'm sorry, Otis. Mrs. Williams doesn't seem to be answering. Goodbye now.
I'm not familiar with the party calling. Please, if he calls again, tell him I don't wish to receive his calls.
You all right?
Yes, fine. Thank you, Mrs. Murray. Do you have my mail?
Nothing for you today.
Oh.
You was expecting something?
Just a response to my query to the jurisdiction. About the books?
Oh, yeah, that business. Yeah, Ike's still all on fire about that one.
Yes, he is. Now, look here, Miss Williams. I can see that you care for the children. And I can see you want to help them. But to go running all over the county without asking anybody is it what they want? I mean, to go accusing all kinds of officials of depriving these children because they're prejudiced.
They are prejudiced. If these children were white, they'd have the same books as everyone else.
She's right, Ezra.
How about we step out and enjoy the sunshine? Thank you, Miss Murray. You'll send that registration off for me?
Oh, that's my job. Mm. And don't you forget to stop by Tizzy's with those letters. And Charlotte, you're right about them books.
First time someone in this place agrees with me, you push me out the door.
Ms. Murray can't know for sure that those officials are prejudiced. Neither can you. And even if it's true, you're going about it wrong. You thinking about cutting out? Well, it won't be the first time a teacher ran out on these little ones. But if that's what you're planning, I'd like to ask for some time. Yeah, we're not refined. We don't talk your language. But we do want an education for our children, so just give me time to find another teacher.
That's not what I'm saying.
See you tomorrow, teacher.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the book.
You're welcome, Elmer. I hope you enjoy it.
Bye, Miss Williams.
Good afternoon, Cordelia.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes?
Nothing. That's nothing. Good night.
Have you been well, Cordelia? You've been away so much lately.
Well, my mom's been sick. I've had to help out with the baby and everything.
That's unfortunate.
They think I should quit school.
Who? Your parents? You're joking. You're not joking.
You know, I wish I was a boy.
Me too. They get to wear such pretty shoes.
Yeah, and they're so graceful.
They smell nice too. So it's the old, she's just a girl, so why does she need to go to school?
I guess. I mean, if Mom wasn't sick or if they didn't need me so much, they wouldn't mind.
You're the best student here. It would be a crime for you to quit. I'll talk to them.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Why?
Well, they're a little afraid of you.
You mean they hate me? Like everyone else around here.
No, nobody hates you. It's not you. It's what you are.
What am I?
Well, you're not with your husband, and you have a red dress, and they don't see you at church, and stuff like that.
I see. All right. So I won't go over swigging on a bottle in my scarlet dress and sit them down for a talk.
No.
We'll find a way, Cordelia. If I have to meet you at midnight and tutor you under the stars, we're going to keep you in school. Okay? Okay, Cordelia?
Okay. Goodbye, Miss Williams.
If you do, I'll take away your door key. Stay out late all night long. When you came home, your clothes were sitting you wrong. Oh, midnight papa, don't you 5 o'clock me.
Oh! Just a minute. Oh, Mr. Jones, come in. Or actually...
Sorry to interrupt. I can come back another time.
It's all right. It'll just take me a minute to dress.
I'll wait out here.
Okay, I'll just be a moment. I found some equipment at the school. Some of it was no good, but I was able to repair most of the balls and some gloves. The box is right out there.
Say, now, look at these.
I've heard there's a town meeting coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What's it all about?
Oh, the Back to Slavery Committee.
Pardon? What did you say?
The Back to Slavery Committee. What I call this particular bunch. Ike Tucker's boy, Charlie, he run off to Calgary a few months back. Got into trouble over a girl down there. Incident like that always gets some folks talking about heading back to Oklahoma. Figure if they're going to be chased by a mob, might as well be warm while they're running.
There. I'm set. Come in. A white girl?
Yeah, I reckon. Can't see where a bunch of white boys want to chase him down for messing with one of his own. Do you have lilacs?
It's in the bathwater.
Thank you for all the work you did on this equipment. It'll be,
Is there something wrong?
Well, it's just, it's been a while since I saw a woman with her hair wrapped up in a towel like that. Listen, a reason I stopped by, any fool can see that you're not happy here. Your doctor's wife used to comfortable life, nicer things. Anyway, turns out a teacher at Keystone just been let go, needs a job real bad, and would be willing to come over here. Hardly ideal, of course, taking someone who didn't work out somewhere else, but there'd be somebody here, at least until summer comes and I could start looking for a replacement.
You'd prefer that?
No. But I prefer to have somebody than nobody, and like I said, you...
Mr. Jones, I wasn't planning on leaving. The truth is, it's not the way you think about my life. Yes, my husband is a doctor. Black doctors don't live like people think. He travels around a lot of different little places. Sometimes people can't pay. Truth is, there are hard times for us, too. I need this job.
That's why you agreed to come here? Might try telling the ladies that. Way it is right now, they don't understand why a doctor's wife wants to come all the way up here. But they could see you wanting to help them out like that. Oh, almost slipped my mind. Mrs. Murray knew I was coming by, wanted me to bring you mail. Thought there might be something there from him.
Why'd she do that? This is mine.
She was just trying to be helpful.
Tell her not to be helpful. I will pick up my mail, and I would appreciate her not looking through it, speculating on the contents.
Fine.
Mr. Jones, I'm sorry. I know she didn't mean any harm.
Yes.
When I was working on that equipment, I was hoping it might be a way to apologize for the way I was last week, for saying that people here are ignorant.
Just because people been denied schooling don't mean they're ignorant.
I know that. My own grandmother couldn't read, and she was the smartest person I ever met. I'm ashamed of what I said. I should have known better.
Educated as you are.
Huh? Why do half the conversations I have with people here start with me saying, I didn't mean it that way? I was raised better. I was taught to consider people's feelings. I've been a bit off kilter since coming here. A bit crazy.
Oh, Helen felt that way when we first come here. She liked to sing a lot.
How long since she passed?
7 years ago, December. Well, thanks again. I appreciate this. Good night now.
Mr. Jones, I noticed you've been working on the field.
Yep, gonna host the spring tournament this year.
Will it be ready?
Oh, gotta be. We got about 7 young men itching to follow Charlie Tucker down to Calgary. Team gives them a reason to stay.
I'd be glad to help out if I can.
It's a lot of heavy work. Just clearing the land, you know, building something for people to sit on.
I meant with the team.
Ms. Williams, I'm glad to hear you're planning on staying. Would you like to go to that town meeting? I could get my boy to bring the wagon by for you.
Yes. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. What did I do with Dr. Johnson? Here you are. Why can't you leave me alone? Burn, honey.
Afternoon, honey.
That great big old box in the corner there is for you.
Oh, good. I was hoping it would come today.
What's in it?
Just some things I had my mother send from home. Actually, it's some things for the baseball team that belong to my grandfather.
Well, now, isn't that nice? Ezra will be tickled to death.
Do you think so? I mean, and the children. They're for the children, mostly.
Saw you out playing ball with them the other day.
Oh! There's no point in trying to keep their minds on the books on a beautiful day like that.
Can't say I've seen Ezra laugh so hard since, well, for a long time was when he seen you come running around those bases and sliding for home. Where'd you learn to slide like that?
Granddad.
Hello? No, honey, I haven't seen Ike today. Mm-hmm. If I do, though, I'll tell him to get on home. That was Mabel Tucker.
I heard about Ike losing his job.
Yes, that was a shame.
Well, I guess I'll take that big old box home.
It's awful heavy.
Yes, it is.
Uncle Jim?
You call me?
You want to get the wagon and help Miss Williams with this package?
Sure I do. Sure.
You take a seat. I can see through that window when the wagon comes.
All right. Mrs. Murray, may I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
How did Mr. Jones' wife die?
Oh, that was terrible, honey. There was a fire. Helen and little baby Daisy. You know John, the preacher. Him and Bee's little baby girl Daisy was staying with Helen while Ezra and John and Bee went over to Keystone. When Ezra come home, the place was all up in flames. He got them out, but it was too late. Ezra's arms was all burned. It was terrible.
Poor Ezra.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure. Oh, now look. There's Uncle Jim.
Okay. Mrs. Murray, I have a lot of things that need doing around my place and the school. I was considering, well, what would you think about my offering Ike Tucker the work?
Ike's a real proud man, honey. That was a nice thought, though.
I see. Well, goodbye for now.
Probably wasn't nobody's fault but Ike's that he lost his job. He drinks, you know, honey. You have a real nice day.
I will. I'll try.
Elmer! Elmer, choke up on that bat, son.
Oh, Ezra.
Hey, now.
Thank you, Uncle Jim. I thought you'd be here, and I wanted to give you these.
Well, all right now. We've just been using some old boards for bases. Where'd you get a hold of something like this?
They were my grandfather's. My mother's father, he played for the Chicago Leland Giants.
That's so.
He was just a little scrawny fella, kind of like our Elmer Butler here. But he could run like a jackrabbit. If he could get on base, guaranteed he'd make it home.
He'd get on base much?
Sure. He could scrunch down like this. Made himself so small, there wasn't a pitcher in the league that could strike him out. They'd walk him every time. And like I said, once on base, he'd beg, borrow, and steal his way home.
Well, look out there now. I haven't sanded that part.
Okay. This is fine. These bleachers are coming along.
Mm-hmm.
I think I figured out one of the signs. Church.
Hmm. Noticed you there last week.
It's quite a distance for me to walk, and I'm always tired at the end of the week. But it was worth the effort. Mrs. Smith invited me home for dinner.
Oh, that's so.
A lot of people have been more friendly since. They must have thought I was out at my place sipping whiskey every Sunday. A single woman out there sipping whiskey. Without her husband, I mean.
These bases are real fine. You sure you want to give them up? They're heirlooms.
I guess they are. Everything else he had, he divided up equally between all his grandchildren. Cooking pots, forks, knives, and his money. All $37 that he'd saved and kept wrapped in a horse blanket. We each got $4.62. but his baseball things. He left me. I have his uniform. That's the thing that matters most. I really want the children to have some decent bases.
You were his favorite.
Yes, I suppose so. I think I better go. I hope the children enjoy these bases.
Oh, they will. Thanks again, Miss Williams.
We are often tossed and dreamed on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling temps off succeed of rise and shine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Help me now. Oh,
by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell this story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Thank you for that fine singing. These are troubled times, brothers and sisters.
Oh, yes, they are.
But we walk with one who has promised never to leave our side.
Hallelujah.
We never walk alone, amen. Brother. Mm-hmm. Amen. Meeting dismissed. The Lord bless you all real good.
Lord bless you too, Reverend.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's good to see you today, too.
Ezra, hold up a moment. You and the kids coming by for dinner today?
Well, I didn't know that...
Well, B told me to ask you, and I just forgot. I'm sorry, Mrs. Williams. I can't extend the invitation your way today. B made just enough room. But I'm sure we'll be glad to have you by another day.
I understand.
I gotta get Ms. Williams home. I guess if B don't mind me being a little late,
Sister Murray and Uncle Jim could take Mrs. Williams home. It's right on their way.
I got this sewing machine all packed up to take to her place, John. She's been working real hard making uniforms for the team.
The words say to shun the very appearance of evil, Ezra.
I'll remember that. See you later. Get up.
Okay, where do you want this thing?
Just right here. Oh, that's good. I still don't understand how you persuaded Bert Whitaker to give me this sewing machine.
Oh, he couldn't afford a school tax this year. Told him we'd accept this in trade.
Well, I might have some of those uniforms done before the town meeting.
Oh?
Thank you. And for the lift from church.
I apologize for the pastor. He's got nothing against you, personal. He just don't like to see me with a woman in my wagon. Especially a young, attractive woman such as yourself. And he even knows you're married, and knows I haven't been out of love with Helen since I was 18 years old, but that don't keep him from having those wicked thoughts that a man of God ought not to have.
Why does he?
He was Helen's brother. Well, we all come up here together, me and Helen and John and Bea. Helen wanted to come just as much as the rest of us, but when we got here, she missed her people real bad. And the cold and clearing the land was hard on her. Not that she wasn't a worker. I mean, she worked harder than anybody else, but she was just hard on her. Maybe he holds me responsible somehow. He took her passing real bad.
Mr. Ezra, you're standing on my skirt.
So I am. I'm sorry. I won't stand on your skirt no more.
Sit down, Ike. I said sit down. There's no call for that kind of language. We're friends. brothers and sisters.
I'm sorry, y'all, but she provoked me.
You provoke yourself, Ike. That's the way you do things. Then you look for someone to blame for your troubles.
You know about my troubles. You talk too much. You think too much of yourself.
Ike, it's the drink talking. Now, this isn't you. If you just sit down and let us help you.
I'm tired of your kind of help. Nothing but words.
The word has power.
You too. I'm sick of it. It was God's will for us to come here. God was calling us. Where was God when my boy ran off? What's God gonna do when they come and take my lamb?
Now don't walk out on us, Ike. We need you
here. Let him go,
Ezra.
Go
to me.
Come on.
Hello? Ezra? I thought you might be able to use some help getting the bleachers painted. Ezra.
Hmm?
I hope you didn't take offense at my remarks at the meeting on Thursday.
Didn't appreciate them?
You asked me to come to the meeting.
When I asked for a teacher, I didn't expect they'd send someone who wanted to tear this community down.
Ezra.
You had no business telling Ike Tucker to pick up and go.
I've known people like him before, always looking for someone to blame.
Half the people here can't make a living off their farms. Some been here 16 years and still ain't got more than 20 acres clear.
But for him to say that
Ike got land so bad he can't grow rocks. If a man like that gets frustrated and needs to blow off a little steam at me, I let him do it.
Why are you trying to keep people here if things are that bad?
What we got here is a little hardship. What we left in Oklahoma was bad. Ike Tucker don't mean nothing to you, Charlotte, but he means something to me. We come up here together. He stood up for me at my wedding. We raised our babies together.
I'm sorry, then. I'm sorry my remarks offended you. I'm trying to understand.
I didn't ask for you to understand. I don't ask for you to interfere. I ask you to come teach these children, that's all. Nothing else.
In 2 days, there will be 3 baseball teams here expecting a field to play on. You think you can get it ready by yourself?
Yes.
Are you saying you don't need my help?
I don't need your help.
Fine.
Hello, Mrs. Murray. Come on in.
Thought for a minute you weren't going to answer the door.
Sorry, I thought you were... Truth is, I didn't care who it was. Guess I just didn't feel much like company.
Where the children at?
Over visiting with John and B.
Why aren't you over visiting with John and B?
I was... got so much to do.
From what I can see, you ain't doing nothing but sitting here looking out the window. Why don't you get on up and get over to Charlotte's place and pick up those uniforms?
No.
The boy's gonna need those uniforms tomorrow, whether you and Charlotte are speaking or not. And just because the Reverend thinks she's the whore of Babylon and you think she drove Ike Tucker away, don't mean we can't say thanks for sewing up those uniforms. Maybe she is too plain-spoken, but that don't mean what she says ain't more than half right. Ike was going anyway, honey. Sooner or later, he was gonna go.
Mrs. Murray sent me by to get the uniforms.
But they're not done.
She said you wanted me to come now.
She knew how much there was yet to be done.
I'll come back later.
Fine, if that's what you want.
Fine.
Well, then.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Charlotte. She saw that you needed help. Now, do you want me to come in and help or not?
Fine. I'm starting to see double.
We gonna have enough buttons?
I think so. Let's see. We've got 1, 2, 3... Just Elmer's, Sidney's, and Willis's left.
We're coming along.
Partially the round thread, please. Thank you. So, were they both slaves?
Mm-hmm. Mama was about 6 years old when the war ended. She and her people got out of the South quick as they could and went on up to Pennsylvania. Daddy now? That was a different story. He'd been stolen from his mama. Some of them bushwhackers broke in and stole him and his brothers from the dinner table right out of his mother's arms. That must have been around 62, because he was just 8 or 9 when the war ended, and his owner didn't even tell him the slaves had been set free. Daddy finally figured it out for himself when he was about 10, but his owner, Master Ed is what my daddy called him, he wasn't about to let Daddy go. And his wife, he said she was the meanest, ugliest woman he ever knew. Said she looked like the devil. Can I have that other needle? No, that one. Yeah, thank you.
What happened?
Well, once he figured out old Ed had no intention of letting him go free, he decided he had to run away. Except he was just a kid. Scared, didn't know where to go. He hid out in a field for 3 days until he got good and hungry. They had all the food locked up in a shed, except for some onions that the cook kept under their bed. So on the 3rd day, he waited till milking time when he knew everyone would be out of the house, and he crept back in to get some of them onions. Then he hears voices. Ed and the cook is coming in the house, and Ed's saying, "Where's the hammer?" Daddy looks, and there's the hammer laying right beside the onions.
What happened?
Oh, he jumped up and he ran out of there, knocked the cook over. Old Ed comes chasing after him fast as he could, and the cook and the ugly wife come chasing too, but they're all old. They know they can't catch him. So Ed calls for the dog. "Sick him, Red," he shouts, and Red, he's a big old bloodhound. He comes bounding across that field, baying and barking like he wants to take my daddy's leg off. Red comes running like that, and then he sees who he's chasing, and he does like this here. Well, who do you think raised that dog up from, a pup? Daddy says, "Hey, boy, come on, let's go." And off they go. Traveling companions stayed together until that dog died 6 years later. And that's the last my daddy saw of Texas.
Well, that's it. Took longer than I thought.
We sure made a mess of your place. But the boys will be grateful. Last year we were the only ones out there playing without proper uniforms.
I'm happy to help. It was very kind of you to give me Helen's phonograph records.
Oh, she would have wanted someone who could use them to have them, instead of gathering dust in our barn.
I've got to sit down. Funny how she and I like the same music.
Used to have to hide those records from John. He thought the preacher's sister shouldn't be listening to music. Your husband share that?
What?
He a music lover.
Yes. We often listened.
Sometimes I pretend she'll be there in the cabin, waiting when I finish the day, just to get by.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't do this.
I know what you're thinking. It's harder for me because my love is gone forever and yours is just in another place, but I don't mind. I feel in a way like you understand. Lonesome is lonesome.
Ezra.
Come on now. Let me help you up. Everything's gonna be all right.
Ezra. Can you hold me?
Oh, I want to. I do. But this ain't right. What a mess.
You worked so hard on those bleachers. Well, come on. We've got time before those teens get here. Ezra, take hold of the other end of that branch. Ezra, they'll be here in a few hours.
I apologize for last night.
There's nothing to be sorry about.
This ain't no kind of place for you to be without your husband all this time. And then I come along with my missing Helen, and I lay that burden on you. There I am, laughing and talking like I haven't done for a long, long time, feeling awake and alive.
Hush. We can leave things just the way they are. We're not in any danger. Unless you keep talking. Ezra, I would never betray my husband.
I know that. Let me say what I come to say.
What happened last night wasn't your fault. And it wasn't wrong.
Shh. I'm alone. That's my life. Helen's dead, and I guess that was God's will. But you're alone because of circumstances. As long as a man and woman are married to each other, and they're both here on this earth, they ought to be together. So I took it on myself to do something about it.
What have you done?
I told him you need your husband, and we need a doctor. We can pay in potatoes and carrots just as well as they can back east.
Oh, no.
I know there's things you're not telling me. I know you're not using his name. I know things aren't right between you. You think I couldn't tell right from the start?
Oh, no.
That's why I called, tell the truth, to see for myself if he loves you. Says he's been worrying himself every day that you won't take his calls or answer his letters.
You don't know what you've done.
You're afraid I won't be able to look the man in the eye when he comes because I've had thoughts about you.
No, I'm not afraid of that.
What is it? Tell me.
I just need time to think. I need time by myself to think.
I'll see you later. I'll be here.
Told you, Ben. Don't lean back like that. Looks like you're scared of getting hit. Hey, that's it. Run, boy. Run, pick up your feet. Helmet, grab her back. You're on deck. She'll be here, son.
Be right.
Ronald, choke up. All right, now. All right.
Ezra, I just come from Charlotte's place. She done picked up and left, honey.
She's on her way?
Not here, honey. She's gone. I found this.
Dear Ezra, where'd she go?
I don't know, but you better get looking.
Charlotte? I never thought that you were the kind of person to run off without a word. I know you're sorry. You done told me that in this note. Why are you doing this?
Just please forgive me and tell the children I'm so sorry to leave them.
Don't leave them. Charlotte, you owe me more than this note.
All aboard!
I wish I'd never come here. You think you can fix everything, Ezra? You think you can put things right? You should have left this alone. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Aboard!
You won't hurt me. I swear. Look here. I know you know how I feel. I'll say it out loud if not saying it is making things worse.
No!
But I won't get hurt by it if you'll just stay. I won't bother you. I won't come around. I know you're not free. I just need to have you nearby. Even married to another man, I'll be happy if I could just know you're here. I don't need more than that.
He's not my husband, Ezra. And I don't think he loves me. I came to Amber Valley to get away from the ruin he made of my life. And now he'll come and make a ruin of my life here. His wife took her own life because she thought he had betrayed her. I didn't mean for anyone to get hurt. I allowed myself a small... No one had ever wanted me until him. He didn't care that I was overeducated or that I talk like a... like a school teacher. He understood about wanting to do things, having ambitions, and how people try to keep you down. I'm 35 years old, and no man had ever kissed me, Ezra, until him. I just kissed him. That's all. But she didn't believe me. And she died. There was a scandal, and I lost my job, and I ran away to here. And now he'll come, and everyone will know. It's so much easier for a woman to be married. I thought I could come here and tell that one simple lie. I was going to tell you the truth. I was going to make things right.
You're not married?
No, I'm not.
Charlotte? What's true?
My feelings. What I feel is true. But how can I expect you to believe me now?
Last call!
Charlotte, tell me your feelings. If you say it, I'll believe you. Just let me hear you say it.
Okay. I love you.
Say it's all right.
It's all right.
Come here.
On Monday Night Playhouse, you've just heard Heaven by Cheryl Fogo. In the cast, you heard Arlene Duncan as Charlotte, Phil Aiken as Ezra, Michael Blake was Ike, and Allison Celie Smith played Mrs. Murray. Michaela Smith was Cordelia, Kafra Armatrading played Elmer, and Roy Lewis played John, Uncle Jim, and the umpire. The heavenly music in Heaven was by the Black Canadian Children's Choir under the direction of Junetta Jamerson. The recording engineer was Greg DeClute, and sound effects were by Anton Szabo. Casting was by Linda Grierson, and the script editor was Dave Carley. The associate producer was Rosie Fernandez. Heaven was produced and directed by me in Toronto.